Hello and welcome to another episode of the Stephen Reed podcast. Today we talk about everything from conspiracy theories to the war on plastic. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Stephen Reed podcast. And today we have a long awaited guest on the podcast. We have Mr. Guy Circus himself.
Hello, hello.
Hey Guy, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm good. I've been looking forward to this.
It's been in the making for such a long time. We've been trying to book this in for months, I think, but we're finally
here. Well, since
here.
You started it, I've been trying to get...
Well, I know. Well, we started it way back in, I feel like April, May. We started to record the first couple of episodes and now we're
really
in,
that far back?
We're into October and I know we've been staggering the uploads, but yeah, here we are and it's good to be
here.
Man.
I'm good. I'm chill.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think it's probably sensible for us to introduce you a little bit more. So so the listeners have a bit of an idea who you are if they don't know you already. I imagine most of them, because you're famous, obviously, so...
I am probably the most famous man on planet Earth.
You're definitely the most famous out of all of our friends at the moment, I think.
The most famous? What do you mean by most famous, though?
I think purely because wherever we go, you always seem to know, or someone always seems to know you, even if you don't know them.
Yeah, that's a bit of an issue.
The amount of times we've been out and about and someone's gone, oh, you're Guy, aren't you? You're Guy, and you're like... Who are you?
Yeah, it's happened a few too many times. Yeah, there's been times that like I should have known them and I don't know them, which is a bit awkward.
Why do you think that is? How does it get to the stage where you don't know all these people? Because
maybe just think, oh, it's that guy as opposed to it's Guy. So it's just in general like, oh, it's that guy and it's not me. I don't know.
I guess. You're a bit of a social butterfly though, aren't you?
A little bit.
I have many friends,
but apart from that, yeah.
So, a bit of history about you then, Guy. let's go way back. I want to go way back to the very beginning.
To birth.
Yeah.
Back to conception.
Fill me in. There may even be gaps that I'm not aware of. I don't want to know about the conception, obviously.
I don't want to know about that.
Unless it's a juicy story, you never know.
I mean, I could call my parents to see, have them as guests.
We need to get that
feature. Will shaking his head.
So
this is not suitable for work. This podcast would be rating 15 straight away.
I'll have to, specify that on the title. come on then. So tell us a bit about yourself, Guy.
Yeah, so do you actually want to go all the way back?
May as well. You've got an interesting past, I think.
Born October 23rd, 1995 in Israel. Lived there for like 5 years, then moved to England, then stayed in England. And that's my journey.
Your parents, correct me if I'm wrong, parents are both Russian, are they?
Yeah, so my dad was born in like modern day Moldova.
Right, okay.
But it was all like the USSR at the time.
And so he's technically Russian, even though where he's from is Moldova.
Yeah, I guess so. And then my mum's from St. Petersburg. They met in St. Petersburg, got married, moved to Israel, had me and my sister, then moved to England for like my dad's work. And then we stayed like the country.
No, so yeah. I can't remember why. You have told me before, but is there a link between Russia and Israel? Because
what do you mean by a link?
Why did your parents go to Israel specifically after?
Because we're Jews.
Right.
It's like a Zionist ideal.
Okay.
Because at the time, like the Jewish people weren't treated very well in Russia. So there was, when the borders opened, like, because the USSR had big problems with like migration and letting people in and out. So when the borders opened, like millions upon millions of Russian Jews fled, went to Israel, America, England, just spread. So my parents were one of the ones that went to Israel.
Awesome. So you grew up there for the first 5 years and then you spent most of your time here, but you do still go over to Israel quite often, don't you?
At least once a year. Yeah, for like a week or so. But recently I've been going for about a month or so over the last couple of years.
Okay, tell us a little bit about your time in the kibbutz, because that was
a great year. Is like on paper, you're meant to spend half your time studying, like let's say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then the other days of the week you're like working at like different places. But in reality, it was super chill. I did not much studying and not much working. So actually it's a win-win for me.
Sounds great.
Yeah. And it's so really calm. Yeah.
You did that in between sixth form and uni.
Yeah. So I finished sixth form 2014. And then from like January 2015 until about August, I think I was in Israel. I was only in the kibbutz until like May, I think. But then I went traveling with my friends and stuff.
I do class myself as very lucky to have been allowed to, not allowed, but to have been invited to join you on some of these journeys that you've gone on through, though, because
we
came out to visit you in Israel. Was mentioned in a previous podcast, actually, I think with Matt. Your name has been dropped a few times in some of the previous episodes.
Beanock.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But we've also been to visit you many times in Bristol, which is where you went to uni.
At least over the last year, you and Will have.
I've definitely got some serious highlights over the last year of being in Bristol.
Anything in particular?
The motion nights out, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's the weekends where we've come and we've got there like Friday night. It's been a bit of a mad rush, but we just have a load of food, have a couple of beers, and then like go straight out to Motion in Bristol.
Yeah.
Which is, for those of you who don't know, it's like a big club. It's probably one of the more famous clubs in the UK. Usually see some kind of house. So we've seen a few drum and bass nights there.
Yeah.
And then we stay up until like 3-4 and then wake up.
3-4 is really a bit late, early, I think, if I'm honest.
Well, it is for you, yeah.
No, I think all of us, there's like, on average, I think we go to sleep about 4:30, because by the time we actually get back and then like sit down, have a cup of tea, go to sleep, then it's like already 4:30, yeah.
And I always enjoyed then waking up the next day and milling around and just
playing I enjoy a bit that
FIFA,
as well.
A bit of Rocket for League on the PlayStation.
For my flats, like wake up, come out.
Yeah, and then I have a bit more tea and
have a schnaffle.
Yeah, so we do have a favourite place. We both absolutely love falafel and hummus.
Yeah,
I think that's one because you're from Israel, and that's two because
it's in our blood.
I'm vegan. There it goes again.
Wait, I heard a rumor that you're vegan. Is it true?
That is 100% true.
Oh my god, I didn't know that.
This place in Bristol is honestly amazing. It does.
Have you not talked about
schnitzel.
It before? On the...
I don't think it's been mentioned,
mate.
It's
the best place in Bristol to eat.
It does like schnitzel and it does falafel,
hence
and hummus.
Schnaffel.
Hence the name schnaffel. But they've also got the most amazing salads. It's not just like it's like Subway, isn't it? But with falafel and schnitzel being the main
thing.
Yeah,
you can
choose
like a meat or falafel to go in,
and then in a wrap or a pita or something. But instead of it just being like a bit of lettuce, a bit of tomato to add in like a normal Subway or something, it's got like these really, really sick salads already made up.
I love how this podcast has gone straight to schnaffel.
Yeah.
Big fan.
That's an important thing that brings us two together.
If it wasn't for you guys, I probably wouldn't have had it, if I'm honest.
I think we just walked past, didn't we? We were like, oh, that sounds...
Because I think most...
Should we go there?
It was quite late and we were quite tired. So we're just like, let's just get the first thing that we see. And we're like, oh, let's just
and
go
it's,
here.
It's literally right down the road from...
Yeah, a minute's walk.
Where you live. It was good. And it always sorted us right out as well. It was like a fiver for this hefty...
Yeah, I normally don't eat much after that. I have like... maybe like a sandwich or something for dinner, but because it fills me up. And we only eat when it's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because by the time we actually get out of the house.
Yeah, exactly. But we've definitely had a couple weekends in Bristol where we've had
multiple
shuffles. Where we've had one on like the Saturday, and then me and Will are craving one before we go home again, because we know we can't get one for another couple of months before we come back again.
Couple of months, couple of weeks.
Well, it did turn out
You ended up coming at like once every like 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, we actually did in like one term. We came to see you 3 or 4 times, I think. There was at least 3 times I think we came to see you in one term. It was great fun.
Loved me so much.
It was good because both myself and Will had finished uni, but it meant that we could still sort of grab hold of a little bit of uni still.
Is that what you felt? Did you feel it's nice being back at uni?
Like during the week, I'd be at work, obviously doing working full time, and then on the weekend it would be like back into being uni again in the student hall, like digs.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
Doing the student lifestyle, and yeah, it was just, and it was nice to have the opportunity to meet other people and get to know people who are doing different courses, and that's always really interesting. Whereas I think when you're in a bit of a routine,
yeah,
and you don't step outside of that very often, you don't end up meeting new people, or those opportunities don't come around very often. So it was really good to do that.
You met quite a lot of different groups of my friends as well.
Yeah,
you met, like, some lawyer friends, my flatmates, obviously.
I'm happy to say they're all really, really safe people. They're really nice.
Yes.
They are.
Shout out Bristol.
Yeah. Shout outs to Bar.
If he's listening.
To Harry.
To Matt in Matt, India.
And Matt Bevan.
And Bevan, yeah.
And all the other people we've gone to festivals
with. Nights out.
Yeah, definitely. We have some big news though, don't we?
We'll
make loads of people jealous.
Oh yeah, boy.
Last week, bearing in mind Guy's tried how many years now?
I took a hiatus, but I've definitely tried like 4 or 5 times in total.
To get what?
To get Glastonbury tickets, boy.
And so this is actually the first year I've tried.
Yeah, I failed again this year. Only Matt Bevan, shout out.
I mean, we tried twice this year. Yeah. We tried to get coach tickets and weekend tickets, and we failed miserably. But thankfully Guy sorted us out because he was in a big group on like Facebook Messenger. And then from that, everyone tried to get tickets for up to about six people,
yeah.
And it worked perfectly. So happy to say we're going to Glastonbury, which is going to be
wicked. I'm so happy. I've been waiting for this for a while.
I know. I can tell how excited you are about it. I feel like it's kind of the pinnacle now of all of, because we've been to so many festivals now. Between the lot of us, I think this is kind of going to be the peak, really. And we definitely, I mean, the first couple of festivals we went together. We've been to a few since where we've not been with each other, but we went to Reading Fest was the first one, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah. We went to Global Gathering together.
Yes. Was that... That wasn't the same year, was it? That was the year after.
No, that... Well, we went to Global and Bestival. I went to Reading as well that year, but I know me and you definitely went Global and Bestival in the same year. First time, I think. End of year 12? No.
Yeah, think it was.
Something like that. Because I've been to Bestival at least 3 times.
Crikey.
So I went twice with you.
Yeah.
And then once without you. So yeah, it would have been just 3 times.
Goodness. I can't believe how many festivals in total that, you know, if you counted up all the wristbands and everything that we've all had.
Yeah, if you count the ones like the day ones in Bristol as well.
Yeah.
Or Tokyo World. Once? We went once or twice? Just once, I think, just this year.
Yeah.
Or last year.
We only went once. You've been a couple of times. But there's something special about festivals. I can't really pin it down completely.
I love it. It's my favorite time of year for sure. Festival season.
It's something pretty special about waking up in the morning in a tent, feeling really rough and being surrounded by everyone else that's like not showered, or you know, it's all smelly and dirty, and then like just cracking open a beer.
It's when you walk out. It's like 8 a.m. because you can't sleep because it's too hot. Everyone's hungover.
You've only had
cold.
4 hours sleep.
Yeah, and someone just goes, "All right, then, crack open a tinny." Then it was like, "Yeah, why not?" And then you just have within an hour, everybody's
buzzed in their deck chairs.
Yeah,
it's nice. It's good fun. And then like just milling around in a festival environment is so much fun. Where you're just going between stage to stage and seeing all these different acts, and I think the variety of music is always something that is a is special about a festival, because you haven't, if you go to a gig, everyone's there for the same artist, whereas there's such a variety at most festivals.
Yeah, I think most is a big part of it. Some festivals are really lacking in variety.
Definitely. I mean, I went to Creamfields a few years ago, and it's just house.
Really?
It's nearly fully house. There was one stage where they had like some drum and bass on, and I mean, when I say house, there was like trance and techno stuff, but it was all very much like that the whole weekend, so it was a bit tiring. But we went and mixed up with listening to, there was like this really tiny hardstyle stage.
Oh, really? Where that's so much fun.
It was like the tempo was really, really high, and you had all these people in like neon get-ups. And for some reason, it attracts like a much older audience. So it was people that were clearly in their like 40s, maybe early 50s as well. Like all, you know.
That's so much fun.
Big, bald-headed guys with beer bellies, and it's wicked. There's something about that as well.
Maybe it's because it's up north. I don't know. People don't want to travel from across the country for like, I don't know.
Possibly. They're probably just gripping on to something their youth, possibly. Yeah. It's a bit of a strange niche though, isn't it?
I was seeing the like older crowds at gigs or festivals. Gives me hope that when I'm old, I'm not just going to be at home, bored. Like, I can go out as well, enjoy it.
Do you think you'll always go to festivals and gigs?
Yeah. Like, it's not a question.
When your parents recently, what was it like one or two years ago, went to their first festival, didn't they?
They went to Glastonbury.
And that was their first festival. Yeah.
Like, my dad is an avid music listener, and then me and my sister picked up from him. So music is a huge part of our whole family's lives, basically. None of us play any instruments, but we just enjoy it.
Yeah.
So he goes to gigs with my mum. I go to gigs with you guys, goes to festivals. So I don't think I'm going to stop anytime soon.
That's awesome.
It's more enjoyable, isn't it?
Oh, hell yeah, definitely. And I think you can't beat live music. There's something about seeing music being around other people while you experience it as well. Seeing people who are performing it or playing it out to people. I think it really, really adds something to the whole experience. And sometimes you can get a better understanding of genre of music without all that, you know, type of music without that you wouldn't get if you listen via an album by yourself.
I can definitely say probably 9 out of 10 best times in my life would it be our concert or our festival. Like, or if I look back at my time in Bristol or over the years, I just think definitely like this gig or this festival, this artist was really like, it stands out.
Do you have a couple of standout gigs or concerts that you've been to?
Yeah, definitely. The XX at, what was it, Brixton?
Yeah, Brixton Academy.
I think that's the best gig I've been to. That was like phenomenal.
Ever?
Like standalone gig, not a festival, I'd have to probably say yeah. It was just phenomenal. Because when listening to the album beforehand, I thought, oh, it's not that great. It's like it's alright, but like the third album that they released, I was like, it's not great, but I'll listen to it. And then when they played it live, I found a whole new appreciation for it.
Definitely.
And them as a band, like I couldn't think I could dance to the XX.
No.
But for like an hour and a half dancing, and I felt like euphoric afterwards. It's incredible.
Yeah, definitely. I feel exactly the same way, and it's also my favourite gig. And we were talking before, weren't we, that we weren't too keen on their newer stuff, but we've been fans for a long time up until that point. We've seen them live,
definitely.
So for us to see them, it was pretty special anyway, because we'd wanted to go for quite a long time, but we were a little bit apprehensive about how good it was going to be because
they smashed it. They killed it.
And seeing their old songs live as well was just
because we've been listening to them since they first came out. I think that's part of it as well. It's like realizing, like almost like a dream. I've been waiting to see them for so long, finally hit it. Same with Gorillaz of Boomtown. Wait to see them for like whenever the first album came out.
Do you have anyone left on your bucket list that you want to still see?
Yeah, I had Linkin Park, but now that Chester's gone, I don't want to see them. I kind of just want to leave it at that. But apart from that, I've hit pretty much everyone I want to see.
I do find it crazy when we reflect back on all the people that we've seen.
Yeah, we're only 22.
Even like together as well. You know, all the people we've gone to see together. Places, people like The Prodigy.
Pendulum.
You know, Pete Tong.
Eric Fritz.
Yeah.
Sasha. Like, huge names.
Yeah.
We've seen Spy like
Chemical Brothers.
Times. Chemical, wow, yeah, I forgot that name. Underworld,
yeah.
Jamie XX.
Basement Jax.
Oh my God, we've seen so many.
There's
Saw Gorillaz, finally.
Yeah, Gorillaz. Who else? Fatboy Slim. He was on my list for quite a long time. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't have much of a list left, I must admit. And so I think that's probably one of the reasons why I'm probably going to go to fewer festivals and gigs in the next couple of years.
Yeah, obviously I'll go to less with like work and like other commitments. You can't, it's not a uni lifestyle. You can't go out like any night of the week, but I want to go to at least like two or three a year.
Two or three gigs.
Yeah. Just to keep it going.
Definitely.
They don't have to be big gigs, but like something, some live music.
Well, I really struggled in the first couple of years at uni actually, because where I went in Middlesbrough, there was no music, no live music really. There wasn't much of a scene for it. And so it was just going out to some of the local clubs.
I feel for you.
Which was, it was great fun.
That pause was meant, no.
No, it was great fun if you were in the right mood.
Yeah.
And so some of the,
like cheese nights, like poppy.
Yeah. So, but some of the nights were actually, they had really good music on, but if they didn't, you had to be, you had to go out in the type of mood that you were going to make the most of the night, no matter what you listened to.
Yeah.
So it was so, and I mean, I saw Enter Shikari there, which was like the only main live act that I saw, but coming down to see you in Bristol was...
Oh, I've had some incredible gigs.
It was probably the reason why we went down so many times, because I think both myself and Will felt like we'd gone through a bit of a dry spell without seeing much live music, and then we just hammered it in the last year and a half.
Because Bristol's not like a huge city like, let's say, London or Manchester, so you don't have like the biggest names, like people like, don't know, Taylor Swift or some crap like that. But what you do have is the smaller artists that are going to like blow up in the next couple of years. And if you know them, it's incredible. Like Lil Kana came in his first UK tour. I luckily got tickets and he was incredible. Half the people didn't know him, but...
Sampha,
yeah. Wow, yeah. That was a great, great gig. That was definitely one of the best I've been to.
I'd want to see him for ages.
It feels like he's giving you a hug for the whole set and you're just warm and cuddly. It's great.
I fortunately got to see him for the first time this summer, and it was really special, actually. Really, really special.
Wait, he came on with Subtract back in, like, in Reading Festival in 2012, something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's when I first heard his voice, and I instantly fell in love. It was incredible. That was, I think, my best memory of Reading Fest, for sure. Over the three, four times I went.
Is that the gig where you ended up dancing with a girl who...
Yeah, I don't know. And then she gave me a hug at the end and then just ran away. And I was like, okay. I was very confused. That was a weird day.
And everyone was screaming at you because you didn't even ask her name or...
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't think anything of it. I was like, all right. And then when I got back, I was like, yeah. Oh, well. Live and learn.
Never mind. Never mind. I love the fact that you can dance with so many random people at concerts and festivals, though. If you take a step away from it, the whole atmosphere at a festival where it's bringing so many people together just for music, you know, and it generally is a peaceful gathering as well.
Yeah.
You don't get that very often, even if you're thinking about maybe football matches or sporting events that bring so many people together. There's not really anything.
I think it's just because everyone's relaxed, everyone's enjoying it, everyone's like out for a good time. You don't really want to hurt anyone, or you don't have any beef with anyone. You are where you are for like 3 days, and then you go. So everyone's really happy.
Yeah, I would like to say though that there aren't the festivals aren't the most amazing thing in the world because there's a couple of flaws that I definitely have a problem with. One of those being the amount of
rubbish
and litter that gets left behind. Yeah. And considering that some of these festivals, they've got people like Greenpeace and, you know, it's all about peace and love and unity and all this stuff. That's great and all. And it's amazing that you're spreading those kind of messages. But in reality, it's creating a lot of waste. And people aren't that respectful necessarily.
I feel like it's moving towards a direction where people are becoming more respectful. In Boomtown, at least you get money back for putting rubbish away, encouraging you to put your tents away. Definitely. I think in Shambhala or wherever, it was like there were no tents left. I saw pictures afterwards, not a single tent.
That's
incredible.
That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. That's really good. But it's slow, isn't it?
Like, I think it's going with the general consensus from everyone to be more green. Like now in the news, it's like they want to get rid of all plastic bags. When you buy fruit and veg, they want to get rid of that, get rid of packaging. So I think it's a general movement to be more green.
It's about time too. I think we've been relying on plastic so heavily for quite a long time. You know, all of our life.
I mean, it's good, but like people just overuse it.
Yeah, it's the single use stuff because plastic is such a useful product, isn't it? But it's all the plastic that comes with the products that just gets chucked away after one use, and that is a complete waste. But it's a difficult position to be in, I think, in the consumer, because it's on us really, because we're the ones that are chucking it away. But at the end of the day, most places you go, if you're having any sort of convenience, it's often comes in plastic. But then there's a load of unnecessary stuff too.
We're slowly getting rid of it. You can feel it. Like the packaging, they always say, oh, we're made from recycled X, Y, and Z, or this is recyclable, please. Like, so they're encouraging, you can feel, at least I can feel it.
Yeah, my biggest problem is it's not happening quick enough, I think. It's going to take a long time to roll out because we are so dependent, I suppose. But plastic straws, that has happened almost overnight.
That was incredible.
You know, my biggest bugbear though, I genuinely think getting rid of all plastic straws wouldn't even do a dent. Honestly, because yes, people use them fairly frequently when they go out for drinks or for food, but generally, people aren't going out for food more than, say, once a fortnight, once a month. Some people barely ever go out for food, and if they have drinks at home, they're not using straws. And so I genuinely think that it's not...
But again, it's part of the movement.
Yeah, definitely.
You can't see it as an individual thing. You can't be like, oh, we've got rid of all plastics. Plastic straws, that's like 5%. It's like the whole process. Like, oh, first we do this, then we do this, then we do that. So I think it's good, regardless.
Do you know what? I feel that the more of the owner should be on the companies that sell you the products in plastic. I feel like they should be charged a fee for how much plastic they use, because at the end of the day, it's them putting the plastic out there.
Like the plastic bag fee.
Yeah.
Like when you buy it.
But it shouldn't be on the customer necessarily. It should be on the company.
Should be on both.
Because they should be a tax essentially what I'm saying.
I think you're right.
That would have a massive impact on, you know, at the moment, the only thing that's going to make them go a bit greener is their conscience as a company. And if they're greedy, that's not, you know, some companies aren't going to do that.
Yeah.
Or that customers are choosing not to buy them and buy a greener or more eco-friendly version. So, but that's not enough of a push, I don't think. I feel like you need the companies themselves to be held more accountable, and they're going to make a change themselves rather than...
I think the biggest force for change, though, is like when the consumers start acting up. So if let's say you hear, don't know, Sainsbury's use plastics and everything, people are going to start boycotting them, start not wanting to go. I think that's a bigger driving force than the government enforcing taxes. So I think as public opinion starts to change away from plastics, then companies are like, oh, they're not going to want to shop with us if we're using too much plastics, and that will make a change.
Mm. It's definitely
so it's a combination of the two, yeah, I think you need. That,
you're right. It's definitely got to be a twofold thing, hasn't it? But I did see actually on Facebook a few months ago, there was a group of activists, I suppose you'd call them, who went and did their weekly shop at somewhere like Sainsbury's. Yeah. And there was a group of, say, about 50, mm-hmm. and they went and did their weekly shop. And at the end, they unwrapped everything that was wrapped in plastic and left it with Sainsbury's and took their food home. But there was a picture of all their plastic, and there was absolute tons. And seeing it like that definitely made me realise how much individually everyone's chucking away, and you chuck away a little bit each and every day. But when it's all in one go, it really makes you step back and realize that there's a hell of a lot, actually, definitely
how quickly we're going through it.
Yeah, I've got a bamboo toothbrush.
Of course you do.
I do.
I'm surprised it's not made out of celery or something.
It's no, well, that wouldn't be very feasible,
I don't know,
would
you
it?
Could like eat it afterwards and then just buy another one, another celery stick.
I'm trying to figure out how that would work.
Listen, I'm not the inventor here. I'm just like, it's coming up with ideas.
They do have those, the way a celery is, it is a bit like, I don't know, how's the word for like the
like bristles?
The bristles. It is a bit bristly on the ends, isn't it? I don't think celery would go well with mint though.
There's only one way to find out, Stephen. When you get home tonight, crack open the celery.
I don't have any celery, so I'm going to have to go get some now.
I mean, any other veg would probably work.
If it was hummus, I'd definitely brush my teeth with celery and hummus, but I don't think it would have the same...
I don't think that will clean your teeth, if I'm honest. I mean, I'm not a dentist, so if any dentists are listening, feel free to tell Stephen, but I'm pretty sure that won't clean your teeth.
I'm very confident it wouldn't. It would just, it would taste good though.
Oh yeah, definitely. But you'll wake up with like an aftertaste, and that'll be nasty.
We had this conversation this morning, but I can't remember your answer. What is your favorite flavor of hummus? Oh no, you went there. Oh, was it last night?
Yeah.
What was last night?
I think I said plain.
You said plain.
If it's a really good, like top quality hummus, you don't need to add anything to it. I don't mind a bit of like red pepper and whatnot, but I think you can't go wrong with classic good old plain hummus.
I must say the best hummus I've ever had was when we were out in Israel. It was
And it wasn't like flavoured, it's just hummus. You can add like spices into it afterwards, which is what most people do, but if it's good, it's good.
Proper stuff. I also remember the smoothies we had. Because
the Tel Aviv.
Yeah. The fruit was so fresh. Whereas obviously it gets shipped out to us here in the UK, and it's often we get it when it's not in season either. Yeah. But it was so good. It was so refreshing because it was really hot out there as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think you guys were there when it was a particularly hot week. I mean, it's Israel, it's like hot all the time. But
is it really? It's hot all year round, is it?
No, not all year round. Definitely like in the summer, it's like excruciatingly hot at some places and humid. But I think the rest of the year, it's definitely warmer than England, but it's not warm all year round.
Do the locals feel the heat just as much as we would going out there? Because obviously
they probably don't make as much of a fuss because they're used to it.
Mm, they just get on with it.
Yeah, and plus everyone has air conditioning. Mm. So if it's too hot, you just stay inside. Like no one's going to be an idiot walking around at like 1 o'clock when the sun's blazing. Yeah. It's just not smart.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to be somewhere where you have loads of sun and the beaches and stuff like that, but with it being so hot and still have, you know, thinking of the actual practicalities of having to work in those kinds of environments, I think I would struggle. But you're right, I suppose most places are going to have some kind of aircon.
It's like why people struggled in England this summer because it was like really hot. I can't remember. It went up to like 30 degrees plus. People were struggling because there's just no air conditioning.
Was it go up to then in...
In Israel?
Yeah.
I think the record's like in Eilat, which is like south Israel, the Dead Sea, where you went.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably over 40. Yeah, I think it went over 40. This summer it broke the record. I can't remember how hot it got, but definitely over 40.
Russia must be the opposite, though. Russia surely gets
it's like so extremes hot in the summer.
Cold, does it not, though?
It gets freezing, yeah, definitely. Like minus, don't know, 20, maybe. No, minus 10, definitely. Sorry, Mum. I'm not very good with the stats, but yeah. You'll get so, like, Russia's a huge country. You have to remember that.
True.
It goes quite far south and quite far north. So it depends where you are in Russia. Yeah. It's quite, you can't say Russia as a country.
No, you're right there, I suppose. It makes me appreciate actually how lucky we are to have our climate because we don't really, we feel like we have extremes of temperature.
We have a great climate here.
But you're going to get that fluctuation wherever you are.
Yeah. Because it doesn't really normally get too cold here or too hot. Realistic. No. If you compare it to like other places in the world, actually are quite
And we don't have any storms or any like extreme weather systems, do we really?
Thankfully. Normally not.
Have you ever experienced any extreme weather before? Like a tsunami? I don't know, like an earthquake or extreme?
There was an earthquake in Bristol.
Was there?
Very minor, but it's definitely there.
When was that?
Probably during exam periods.
I was this year?
Yeah, so I went home for like lunch because I just couldn't spend any more time in the library. I think it was me and my flatmate Matt watching TV. Then you could just feel the ground shaking.
So
and we're like, whoa.
You actually felt?
Yeah, It wasn't like a huge, like crazy, get under the table, grab your kids, keep them safe. But it was a definite tremor. People felt like saw like lights moving and stuff.
Wow. That must be so disconcerting to know, like to have the whole earth just shake underneath
you. I felt cool. I was like, wow, I'm in an earthquake.
It's good though that you were in an earthquake somewhere where you knew it was going to be safe, I suppose. Because you could be in an earthquake somewhere the other side of the world where that's a really bad thing.
Dangerous. It was such a minor earthquake. You're not thinking about safety.
That's what I mean, light rubble. Because we're in the UK, any earthquake we get is going to be minor, so we can enjoy it as a really cool thing. Whereas a lot of places, you'd have an earthquake and would be like, shit, the whole world is shaking. We better follow those.
Yeah, I don't know how people live on like, what are they called? The fault lines.
Tectonic. Well, fault lines.
Like places like San Francisco or like Tokyo or like really advanced countries, but still you have earthquakes yearly. I don't know how they get on with it.
I know you are a big fan of traveling and you've lived in two countries.
Yeah.
And we've always said that we could picture you moving out somewhere to live or work, even if it was just for a short period. Where would you pick if you had to? And that's not Israel, Russia, or the UK.
To work?
To live and work. Where would your top places be, do you think, if you could choose anywhere?
That is a good question. I mean, I love Europe, so I don't really mind working somewhere like Paris. Like for me personally, it'll have to be a city.
Right.
You know, like I can't.
You
just
are a
live,
city boy.
Yeah, I can't live just out in the country.
You've got to always have something going on.
Yeah, there has
on,
to be some
you?
Sort of something in the atmosphere, something to
Bit
do.
Of a buzz.
Like if I want to go out in the evening and do something, I can, or even during the day.
Yeah.
So New York would be like incredible, I think, or like San Francisco, so in America. But conversely, Tokyo, which is a completely different culture.
Yeah.
That'd be fascinating. Be cool. But yeah, I don't really know. There's a lot of places I want to travel, but not necessarily work.
Go on. Where?
So like, Japan is definitely up there. New Zealand is up there. Somewhere in Africa, because why not?
Yeah.
I don't think people really travel there so much.
Not often, really.
And I got a friend from Kenya, so she'll be able to show me around, and people from South Africa,
so they'll be able
to help me.
That's so cool. Yeah, I think you'd want to go somewhere not like, you know, I wouldn't want to go to South Africa because I feel like out of all the places in Africa, that would be the most westernized, I feel.
Yeah, it is to a certain extent, but it's still a beautiful country, great food, great culture.
Definitely. I think it would be really cool to go to one of the countries where no one's ever even heard of.
Somalia. Go to Somalia, Stephen. Get on with the pirates.
There must be a lot more to Somalia than the pirates, though, because that would be one good thing of going to somewhere like that, because you'd be able to come back.
I don't know if you'll be allowed to go there, if I'm honest.
No,
you'll probably be flagged.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah, almost definitely.
What do you mean by flag?
As in, like, if like your name, if you said I'm going to Somalia or somewhere like, I don't know, Yemen, you'll definitely be flagged on like National Register or something. They'll be like, why did he go there?
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
People don't just go there for a holiday.
That's true. That's something to consider, I suppose. Kenya would be cool though, especially if you've got people who are from there anyway. You may as well make the most of that as well.
Connections.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I know I'd like to go back towards Asia again. And Japan.
Anywhere in particular?
Japan's on my list, I think. Maybe somewhere like Thailand or
Ben's nodding.
I know. We have had a conversation about Ben's time in Japan and it sounded amazing.
I've always been fascinated by the culture. It's so different, but it's so advanced.
Definitely. I'd love South America as well.
Like Peru and Argentina and all
that. I'm a big fan of hiking and
I've
been to a few city breaks this year and they were cool but tiring, and I found myself craving
nature,
and I went to a lot of the parks and things. So I feel like over the next year or two, especially while I'm trying to just save a few pennies, I'm probably going to spend a few more holidays in the UK and go to places like Lake District and stuff. But I think walking up the Inca Trails is...
That's on my to-do list.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
But you have to apparently book it like really, really far in advance, like 6 months in advance. You can't really just turn up and do it because of like safety and like they want to preserve the land and everything. You have to book it.
Probably have to have a load of injections as well, I imagine, because of the... You are going to a completely different side of the world.
Yeah, but that's not really a big deal, is it?
No. But then, I mean, sometimes you have to wait you know, you have to wait to have enough of them, so... That's something to bear in mind, I suppose. I recently had my flu jab actually at work, and it may seem like a really weird topic to transition into, but there's actually...
How have we gone to flu jabs?
Well, we were talking about jabs anyway.
Yeah,
but
continue.
I do want to talk about it because while we're recording it, it is flu. We're starting to get into flu season, lots of old people get it, and I know asthmatics are offered it.
Yeah, I'm offered it for free.
Do you take it?
No, I probably should.
There's probably a good reason why they offer it for free.
I normally get like a few calls or a few texts, be like, "Hey, come get your flu jab," and I'm like, "Yeah," and then I just don't. I don't know why. There's no reason for me not to get it. But
that's fair enough. There's a good reason why I get it, because I get it obviously for free because I'm working around vulnerable people, and it's not to protect me necessarily from getting the flu, but you can be a carrier of the flu without
having
symptoms. So you could potentially be putting other people's lives at risk.
Do you have to get it? Is it mandatory for you?
No. But then this is what I wanted to say, because there's actually a load of people who choose not to get it, even though they're in a position where they're working with vulnerable people who are, you know, are really ill, and they can be carriers, as I say. And I just don't get that at all.
But it's like the anti-vaxxers. Have you heard of them? Like, you know, the vaccinations that you get when you're a kid.
There's a
big movement of people that don't want you, like, are actively not giving their children vaccinations because they think it gives you autism or it's like poisons you or something like that, which is just plain ridiculous.
I'm not a fan of those kind of conspiracies. I think they're kind of quite dangerous, really.
I hate those people. They're ruining their kids' lives.
That's all it is. And putting them at risk, right?
As in what, the parents?
No, putting the kids at
risk. Yeah, definitely.
If they don't have these vaccinations. I'm not very educated about it, I must admit, and I've done absolutely no reading, but I feel like it's only common sense.
It is really. Common sense. It's ridiculous for them not to have it, because they think all these injections have like mercury in it or like some weird chemicals that give your kids autism. But there's no scientific basis for all that. And for just one tiny little jab, you could save your kid's life and a world of like pain from them. But they're just selfish and they don't want to.
Yeah. Are there any conspiracy theories that you actually believe in? Or think maybe quite plausible?
I
Are you
a flat earther? I'm not a flat earther, I find her fascinating. It's like that, the Twin Towers was like an inside job, like all kinds of JFK. I love conspiracy theories. I think they're so entertaining, just to try and be in the minds of the people that think this up.
I love listening to people talk about them because people get so, especially people who know or have done a lot of reading and research, because they're so passionate about it, and they're really, really caught up in the whole conspiracy, and they know all the little things that you have no idea about. But yeah, I don't really.
There's
some. Really
I was talking to my mum the other day about conspiracies, and there's one I definitely believe, but I can't remember it now. It's like there's one I definitely believe in. I can't remember.
I think we've talked about this before around the fire, but the Mandela effect. Have you heard
which
about
one
that
is
one?
That when
everyone thought Nelson Mandela
was
dead,
yeah,
when he wasn't, and now people think he's alive when he's not. But then that effect is I think it's basically when there's a big, big group of a population who believe in something that's not true.
That's not really a conspiracy, though, is it? Because like a conspiracy is like you have a theory about certain events, but believing Mandela's dead is just like...
True, okay.
It's just a thought, like, oh, I thought he was dead.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Now, oh, I thought he was alive.
But you could...
But a conspiracy theory is like Tupac lives in like in the Caribbean, and like he lives there with like Biggie. That's a conspiracy theory. And you got all these photos and it's like on a wall and you got the red string and you're connecting it and you like...
Yeah, yeah. I agree, yeah.
But it's like do you know who Suge Knight? Suge Knight? Do you know who he is?
No idea, no.
He's meant to be like this big badass that like killed Tupac or something. But his son said, oh, no, Tupac's alive. And I started reading into it. I got really, really invested. And my conclusion is, nice, he's probably dead. I got deep into it and I was like, this just doesn't add up.
No. And do you not think that he's got a good reason for saying that he's not dead? Because
I don't know,
he could be
trying
to essentially prove his father's innocence, I suppose.
No, his father's guilty for a lot of stuff. I'm not going to get into it.
But not killing Tupac because he's still alive.
Well, rumors, yeah. Who knows? Who knows, Stephen? There's only one way to find out, and that's go to wherever they say he's living and scout him out, which is my next holiday destination. 2019, the year the guy finds Tupac.
Hey, you would be
mind blown.
You'd be even more famous than you already are.
Mate, I think I'll be given like a knighthood if I find Tupac. The Queen would be like, yes.
The Queen would respect that.
Yeah, I think
I would respect
like,
that. I don't know if the Queen
would. I think
the
world would respect me. Everybody like just like give me respect down the street. They'd be like, my man.
Maybe Tupac doesn't want to be found though.
Well, that's why he's in hiding, isn't it, Stephen? Come on, mate.
Well, not necessarily.
Think logically, man.
Someone could be hiding him, keeping him captive, so that they can ghost. He can ghostwrite all their rap songs.
Oh, you think? Someone's... Oh, this is a new conspiracy theory. Someone's, like, captured him.
Yeah.
Like Drake, yeah. Drake and his ghostwriters. One of them's Tupac.
Yeah.
Oh, my days, Stephen.
Wouldn't that be a turnout for the books? That'd be a twist.
That'd be the greatest story since, like... Jesus Christ, probably.
And no, it gets deeper.
All right.
Because
wow, this podcast has gone real weird.
This is biased now because I hate Drake. And I think his music's terrible. So Tupac, I think, is writing purposely sabotaging Drake so that Drake fails and lets him free.
Okay, if I'm being honest with you, that's Drake's probably the biggest rapper in the world right now. So if that's what Tupac's trying to do, he's failing bad, like bad.
Maybe he stumbled onto something good by trying to write bad stuff.
Maybe. Who knows? You know, I don't know how Tupac thinks. I can't really speak on his behalf.
You know,
if he's alive.
You know Elvis Presley's still alive though, right?
Yeah, he lives there with Tupac.
Maybe he's ghostwriting for Drake as well.
All the rumored to be dead artists. Amy Winehouse is there as well. I heard Jimi Hendrix.
Mate, I hope Avicii's still there.
Oh, mate, it's too soon.
If Avicii is alive...
But they found him dead.
I know, but maybe he's not.
This is sad. I hope Avicii.
is sad, but I'm just trying to keep him alive.
He's making Drake's beats.
I'm keeping the hope of Avicii alive.
Maybe.
I think he's working with Johnny Cash.
So do you think these people have caught it, like they've caught these artists and they're forcing them to write? Yeah. Or it's like a side project for these
dead
people?
No, they've been burgled. Like, not burgled.
They've been burgled.
They've been captured.
I've been burgled and someone stole my Avicii. No.
Never mind. I don't believe in any really conspiracies.
I really hope that's true.
But it's an interesting one to go through.
That's a great conspiracy theory.
Where would be your least favourite place to move to or live?
Least favourite?
Least.
Oh, I don't really want to offend any of our listeners out there. Least favourite?
You can say like Hull or I don't know.
The first thought that came to mind was Slough.
Slough.
That's like the first thought, because it's just like a stereotypically bad and depressing place.
Yeah,
it's like it's still in England, which is like
it's not
wealthy
even that
country,
far away.
And it's quite it's in a wealthy like county. It's got a good healthcare.
It's near
but
London.
It's just the thought of Slough just makes me depressed.
You'd still be fairly close to home, and close to London.
Yeah, still Slough.
Slough.
To say that, oh yeah, I live in Slough. No offense to those in Slough, but
Ricky
I think
Gervais
the office,
came from
yeah.
Slough, didn't he?
Is he from there?
Yeah.
Was he actually? I thought he just based the office there because...
No, he's genuinely from Slough.
Well, I guess good things do come out of it.
Yeah.
I think maybe someone like... I don't know. I really don't know. Somewhere... Maybe probably someone like middle Africa where there's like...
Middle of nowhere.
Yeah, people like dying every day. And there's like terrorist organizations and there's like no welfare. That sounds pretty bad to me.
It's probably a little bit worse than Slough, to be fair.
If I had to like... measure up, I'll probably say on the balance of things, yeah.
What is it though that you love so much about cities? I know you said there's a bit of like a buzz about them, but I that for me that stresses me out. I find it's exhausting being around that buzz all the time.
I think it's good to take breaks, but I don't know what it is. I think just I like stuff to do. I don't like to just sit at home and like read a book or like. Don't know, look outside of the nature like you do on your boat, but like I like having the opportunities to do what I want, go where I want, eat what I want, drink, like meet friends. Like it's I think I like being around people. Like you said, I'm quite a social person.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I can just be by myself in the countryside away from everyone else.
So you for that reason you're not a huge fan of being back in Thatcher, might
no,
you?
Not at all. I want to get out ASAP.
But I know when me and Will came back from uni, because we'd been places that weren't didn't have a lot going for them. When we came back, I certainly really appreciated Thatcham, and I thought a newbie in this area. I thought it was really, really nice to be back here. But you're sort of because you're coming back from somewhere like Bristol, that's kind of.
It's still a nice place to be, and I can like for like let's say 2-3 weeks to be with family and friends and just relax. It's nice. But to live, like, I just can't. I don't really, like, if I had a family, like, wife, kids, whatever, I think it'd be quite a nice place to live in general.
Mm.
Very quiet. It's close to, like, London, Bristol, Reading, where you can get a train anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's a good location, good schools. I don't care about that stuff now.
Do you want a family? Do you want kids when you're older?
I guess. I haven't given it much thought. I've always been the type of person, what happens, happens.
Yeah.
It's not something right now on my... age or like where I'm in life thinking about.
That's fair enough.
But yeah, I think so. I think eventually, yeah.
I'd love to see little guys running
little
around.
Guys. That'd be so annoying.
It'd be so cool.
That'd be so annoying. You would hate them. That would just annoy the life out of you.
No, it'd be amazing. It'd be amazing.
I don't know. One day. But that's...
It's pretty mind-boggling thinking about it, to be fair.
Yeah, I honestly haven't given it any thought.
I was reminded by some kids today actually why I don't want to have any.
Crying out Sainsbury's.
Yeah, we were walking to the shop and there was this kid just screaming for no apparent reason walking
behind.
Well,
we don't know the context.
Well, it didn't appear that there was anything particularly wrong.
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere.
There was this one kid though at Boomtown
that was the cutest little
girl. Loved this kid. And this kid sort of actually made me think, maybe I would have kids. I don't know. But there was this little girl that she must have been about five or something.
Yeah. No, older than five.
And she was in the middle of this like big open space. She was just dancing all by herself, and she was having an amazing time. She had a big beaming smile on her face. And her parents were just sort of sat there just watching and letting her enjoy herself. And then all these youngsters who were either like high or drunk or just like
exhausted,
they were all sort of sat there all walking past admiring her. And
you have to question the parents there. Like, I'm not judging anyone's parenting style or whatever, but personally, I wouldn't want to take my kid to a place like Boomtown.
No,
ever.
No.
Like, it's just... You see some weird stuff there, and like I was scared just walking around at like 1 a.m. and seeing like all these like people really, really not in a good state.
Mm.
I imagine it's quite traumatizing for a kid to go through that. And I know they probably won't be awake at 1 a.m. Yeah. but still, like,
this is another of my big problems with festivals though, really, is the drug scene. And I'm not against people taking drugs or drugs in general. I just think that sometimes the way that it's taken and the amount or the the not knowing what you're taking as well. I think having heard some of the reports over the last couple of years at festivals that we've been to about young people dying at these festivals, it's terrible. And this again, as I say, is one of my biggest issues with the festivals. But thankfully though, I was really impressed at Boomtown that they had a tent loop where you could test your drugs.
Yeah. And they're now going into more and more festivals. And it's important to educate as opposed to ban. It never helps to ban something outright because people are going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well teach them.
It may even encourage people because people are rebellious in nature. People want to do,
exactly.
Especially young people.
I think it's really important to educate people, because then if let's say you go to the organization called The Loop, the one that tests it, if you go and you find out someone's put cement or something
in
your coke,
poison,
you'll probably stop doing drugs altogether if you find that out. Like,
it's at least not take that and not get seriously hurt. And as you say, I agree with that statement though, because a lot of people would think, you know, just ban the drugs or just, you know, blah, 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 do this, that, next thing. But you can't stop people from getting the drugs. You can't stop people from getting the drugs into festivals. So at the end of the day, the next best thing you can do is at least try and make people as safe as possible when they're doing it.
I agree with that.
Right? I for another reason, I particularly enjoyed Boomtown even. Because although there was a lot of drugs around, it was one of the only festivals where I haven't felt particularly judged for not doing drugs.
I think Boomtown has quite a nice environment in that everyone's there for the same kind of music. It's like we were speaking about earlier about the general festival vibe. I think that was particularly, everybody was in a good mood. Everyone was enjoying it. They're like, you do your thing. I think because maybe there were so many drugs around and so many drinks and people like, whatever you're doing, as long as you're not hurting someone or hurting yourself, be free.
Definitely. I have found at other festivals, even this year actually, that people generally ask you if you want to buy some drugs or if you're selling any drugs or anything, and all you know, you get it way too often, and it's really
candy,
annoying.
Balloons, 3 for $10. You can hear that 24/7. You wake up and you hear it. Go to sleep and you hear it. Just leave me alone, man.
And when we went to Parklife in Manchester earlier in the summer, this girl asked me, and I said, no, you know, I don't do drugs or anything. And this was right at the beginning of the very first day. 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and she was like, what? You don't do drugs? I was like, no. And she's like, you're not on anything now. I was like, no. And she clearly was off her chops already.
Her chops.
She was. And so she...
Get an omelette, crack open a pill in it, just mix it up.
She made me feel quite uncomfortable.
But I think people like that need drugs to have a good time.
Because
if you can't imagine someone enjoying it without drugs, then it shows that they need it to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the fault lies. If you need drugs to enjoy that kind of music, you shouldn't be going there. That's personally what I think.
I definitely value the group of friends we've got for the ability to go and enjoy ourselves without
any booze. We've been going to gigs since year nine. We went to Pendulum when we were about year 10, I think.
It was year nine, yeah.
So we don't need to drink or do drugs.
Before we weren't even old enough to go in the main arena. We had to stay in the stands.
Yeah. So we're too young.
I think we were like 14, 15. Because I mean, we went to Reading Fest when we were 16. We went to see Pendulum at Wembley when we were 14, and then we went to see Chasing Status in Southampton.
Oh, Southampton. Was it Southampton?
When
or
we were about 15. And those were like the first.
No, we saw them in Swindon.
Swindon.
Yeah.
Okay.
The No
it was
More
like
Idols.
A leisure centre, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. And I just remember just coming out of those and just being so
exhausted
yeah. but and craving water.
Yeah.
Like so badly.
So badly.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so hot in there as well because all the sweat had evaporated. When we were walking out, they turned the lights on and we could see it all dripping down on people like as they were walking out the exit. And we had to walk through almost like a mini waterfall of sweat that was dripping down. It's disgusting.
In Bristol, there's a club called Basement 45, which is like really like, it's kind of underground. It's got a very low ceiling and it's, I think, the hottest place I've ever been. You're dancing there for like 5 minutes, sweat's coming up and you can feel it dripping down like as your sweat is... This is nasty.
Grimy.
It's horrible.
Grimy.
Yeah.
I don't know, in a strange way, I do kind of like a bit of a good sweat box.
I like a little bit of a sweat box, but that's like...
Yeah.
You can't stay there for literally more than 10 minutes because you feel like you're going to pass out.
There have been some places where... They're just so humid that you go into. I remember Best of All, actually, there was a tent where we went into and we came straight back out again because it was just unbearable.
There was one at Global as well. Do you remember those? I think it's called the Bunker, where it's like pitch black, really humid, and we're like, all right, nope.
Literally about the size of like the ground floor in this house. It was tiny.
Yeah, if no one can actually see this floor, but. It's
well,
it's
like,
just the ground floor of a house.
Yeah, that's what I. That's
it's
what
probably
I'm
smaller
to get.
Than that. I think it's like possibly really, really small.
I imagine it would have been cool to actually stay there for a bit longer and soak up the tunes and whatnot. But
oh well,
my favorite memory of that festival was when it was after a really low point for me, at least. I think we were both through a bit of a low point because the last night or the last two nights we'd been stayed up till about 4 o'clock in the morning. I had no sleep because it was boiling hot.
Yeah, we couldn't stay in our tents.
And absolutely knackered. And we'd been dancing and walking around, standing on around all day. And I was just knackered and hungry and miserable. And we went to go and get these wedges, which for festival food were really reasonably priced.
Yeah.
And we just smothered them in mayonnaise, I remember. And we ate them, sat down listening to, I think it was Madian. Who was
we
at,
fell
like,
asleep
the main
to Madian.
Stage. And then we sort of just had a lie down in the field and then we just both passed out for I don't know how long. But when we woke up, it was a completely different artist
it was
on the stage.
That was, on.
Was it really?
I think so. I think we woke
or
up.
Annie
and we
Mac
like,
or someone.
Like, this is a Madian. We looked at the menu and the program and I'm pretty sure it was a knife pie.
It's awesome. I remember how much better I felt after.
Yeah, it was a good, well-needed nap.
You definitely appreciate the simple things after a festival, don't you?
Yeah, like a toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just to sit down and not have to smell other people's like crap and... smell and then hearing stuff next to you just to be able to sit down and breathe.
Yeah,
that's
I
underrated.
I agree. Yeah, for anyone that hasn't been to a festival would never understand how good it feels to sit down on a toilet after 3 or 4 days of just avoiding them at all costs.
Yeah,
you know, just rationing your poos.
I think at Reading I only peed for the weekend or I went to Tesco's.
Yeah,
or went like I definitely didn't do one in Reading because I was
That's rough,
nah,
though.
You can catch some stuff there, I swear. Just by sitting down, you'll get like gonorrhea.
That's
lovely
gross.
Image for you folks at home.
Yeah, they were particularly bad, the ones that I read in. The ones at Bessel and Boomtown were both actually pretty good because they were composting toilets. And that you just throw sawdust on top of everything. And it didn't smell at all, really. Even after a couple of days, which is...
I think they clean them out quite regularly. And yeah, it was very good. Best of all. Mm. Hopefully, apparently Glastonbury is the same. So we got that to look forward to.
I hope so.
Nice, reasonably clean toilets.
I am really looking forward to Glastonbury now.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure whether to get tickets or not. And he'd asked me... like a week or two before the tickets come out, to see if I was up for going, and I wasn't sure. And then I looked on my emails, and I got an email literally that week saying,
"Your registration."
Yeah, like this is my registration number for the tickets. So I thought, may as well. And now we've got tickets. I'm really excited. And it's not just because they haven't even released anyone on the lineup.
There's like rumors.
Who are the rumors then? I haven't heard any.
I think one of them's been shut down in the last couple of days, but Madonna was like number one rumored to be, I think, closing Sunday. Led Zeppelin have been rumored. And then you have the usual, you have like Oasis reunion and like, don't know, like Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, these kind of people coming back. Mm. But the last couple of years, I've got no clue.
No. But I genuinely wouldn't go see any of those.
I think I'd see Led Zeppelin. Purely because it's Led Zeppelin, and I think if you don't see them, you're an idiot. Like, personally.
Fair enough.
I think if a place like Glastonbury, it's made for bands like that. I would see Madonna. At least for like 20 minutes, just to see what she's like.
Yeah.
I think you have to. Like, why go to a place like Glastonbury and not?
They definitely wouldn't be... Yeah, I wouldn't be that keen on going to see them. But I would, just as you say, for
I think
that
just
reason,
to be in the back, like be at the back, see the show, and then if you're like, oh, this is poor, just leave and go somewhere else.
Definitely. I'm really looking forward to all the side bits that are going on, seeing all the random stuff. And
that's
what
I've heard
tents.
Makes Glastonbury, it's all the little projects and all the little stands.
Those are things that I've really enjoyed about the last couple of festivals we went to, Boomtown and Bessel, because they've both got talks going on. They've both got like art and craft. They've got yoga and meditation. And I did some yoga at Bessel, and it was genuinely
9 a.m. yoga. Like,
yeah,
Saturday.
It was so good because I feel like that's when you actually genuinely need it most, when you're like everything's just feeling really tight and sore from being like dancing for the last 2 days, and you're knackered and you just need to actually just have a bit of rest and recuperation.
Get your mind in order.
Definitely. I'd love for us to, I'm sure we'll do another podcast in between now and Glastonbury, but I think we should definitely record one once we've come back from Glastonbury, and
I'd hope we definitely do at least one before then.
I hope so. Considering we've been waiting this long, it'd be nice to actually.
Yeah, and
just
this one's been weird. We've talked about all kinds of stuff. I've enjoyed it.
That's genuinely how they go, I find. They seem to go all over the shop, but it's nice because that's genuinely a fairly natural conversation.
Yeah.
And so it's been a blast, and we have touched on loads of different weird
random
topics, but I like that. Enjoyed it.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Have
definitely.
You found your first ever podcast?
Yeah, really weird to have like Will and Ben in the background and just laughing at me talk about Tupac being alive.
That was a highlight for me.
He's
for sure.
Alive.
Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having
me.
I look forward to the next time.
Yeah, I'm so glad we've been able to get you on at last. So, and thank you everyone for listening, if you've stuck around this long. And cheers, Will and Ben, for sorting us out, keeping us company. Well, have a lovely time, whatever time of day you're listening to this. Good evening, good morning, and
good afternoon,
and we'll see you next time. Take care.